The Money Show.
Business Books.
Well, in our business book feature today, how well do you focus on the day to day? I know immediately when I wake up, I'm already checking my phone whether any story has broken from the US or Asia markets. And I'm already having my attention split. In today's book feature, we're going to be looking into a book that focuses on focus, stolen focus. Why can't I pay attention and how to think deeply again? Of course, that book being unpacked by managing director at Vestec Asset Management, Paul Theron. Now, all over the world, our ability to pay attention is collapsing. In the US, college students now focus on one task for only 65 seconds. And here's what's worrying for me. Office workers on average manage only 3 minutes. We unpack that book with Paul. Now, Paul, welcome again to The Money Show. What impressed you the most about this book?
Yeah, that was quite an interesting lead-in, George. The book basically suggests we're really screwed, all of us, as a species, because, you know, cell phones, being online too much, like you say, waking up in the middle of the night to see if there's any breaking news. You know, we're not sleeping well. We can't concentrate on anything important. We never read anything that's long. I mean, office workers, 3 minutes, that's not good. Kids, 65 seconds. But, you know, the underlying concern I have about this book was that actually it's dead wrong because for me anyway, you know, it's really just part of a long running thing over many centuries where people worry about the impact of technology on society. And in my view, you know, smartphones have made us all better people and we have access to everything and we're connected and we're connected to each other. So I think actually this book is, entirely built on a false premise, which is just that somehow our cell phones are killing us. But actually, I think they're making us better, man.
So this book by Jordan Harry, actually, I remember a conversation I had with my nephew and he was always on his phone. And I was like, oh, man, you know what? Back then I was reading newspapers and doing crosswords and I had a lot of attention. And he was like, yeah, but that was something splitting your attention. Yes, it's a traditional media. But, you know, me having a cell phone doesn't mean my attention is split. I can still hear what you're saying. So I do get your point. So when you read through it, you know, what are some of the things that you picked up that, you know, that you don't agree with in terms of the book and its outlook on attention?
Look, it's a good book. I mean, it's an interesting and long book. This guy is an interesting fellow. He grew up in Scotland, moved to London. He's a deep thinker. He's written some interesting books about depression and about modern society. So I don't want to knock him. I think, you know, people will find value here. It's a little bit long, the whole thing. But effectively, the basic theory, like I say, has been knocking around for a while. I mean, you can go back to the Victorian times and read these long books and essays, which people wrote, even, you know, articles in the public press saying that, you know, human society was moving too fast. That trains and steam engines were like undermining the basic human characteristics of not moving around too quickly. You know, there were people writing books about how in the times before that, you were able to take a carriage, you know, pulled by horses out to the countryside. And then you would like, your brain wouldn't be rushed and that the trains were basically going to be the end of us. And then you can go forward another 50 years and you can read books about how the young people were being undermined by the radio. I mean,
and here we are still on radio,
the internet. So I think the idea that we are, you know, our focus has been stolen and that we're sort of losing our grip on reality and maybe we're not sleeping so well. You know, maybe there's a little bit of something there. You know, I can save you some time. You don't have to buy the book. Basically, the summaries are these. Screens are bad. Your phone is bad. Social media is bad. Unhealthy food is bad. Pollution is bad. Sleep is good. Kids playing outside is good. Overworking is bad. Life. Daydreaming is good. You know?
But what did he have to say about the author, that is, about regaining our focus? I'm more interested in him saying, this is what you have to do to get your focus back as an adult, as a child.
Well, I think you know what it is. It's like turn the phone off, you know, don't have it next to the bed.
Oh, that's not
turn
practical.
It off before you go to bed. Don't lie in the bed looking at it before you turn out the lights. You know, get a full 8 hours. Don't like get your kids off social media. You know, they must get the hell outside and go find worms in the garden or chase Adidas around or go for a ride on their bicycles. Don't work too much. You know, don't like transition from working at home to working at the work and then just like work until 10 o'clock at night because you're working from home. You know, get some exercise, go for a stroll, you know, let your brain drift when you, like when you go for a walk, don't listen to a podcast of the Money Show. You must rather just, you know, like see what's going on, say hello to the dogs. You know, it's better. I mean, you know, these are fairly obvious observations. I mean, for me, I think it's all about management, personal management. You know, I mean, we're all grown up here. We can all work out how much we should engage with social media and how much we should take a break.
So after reading this very long book of a deep thinker, you've summarized it quite well for us. But, you know, how does one, you know, pick up books like this and saying, is this a self-help book? Is it something I'm going to gain value from? Because this particular author has a New York Times best-selling, is a New York Times best-selling book author, you know. So how do you make sure that when you pick up the second edition, you're not wasting your time?
Now, look, I'm giving you the shortcut here. I mean, most people seem to love this book. I mean, this one got positively reviewed by Oprah, by Arianna Huffington, by Stephen Fry, by Hillary Clinton, by Emma Thompson.
that's quite a know, big Paul contingent you're up Bestex. Against.
That guy, you must just ignore him. He's talking nonsense. These people reckon that, you know, this is a telling and necessary book. Emma Thompson said it's a miracle of clarity and depth, a resonant, deeply researched warning, followed by a truly inspiring clarion call to action. Read it and weep, then dry your eyes and join in. That sounds like ringing endorsement. So, you know, I think there are many people who feel like technology is moving too fast and, you know, it's like it's essential to fight back, and they probably love this book. For me, I honestly think that, you know, people think it's the end of times, but actually this is just the beginning of times in terms of humanity. And these technologies which we live now with that we think are so smart, you know, they're the same thing as the steam engine back in the 1850s. So in a couple of years' time, a couple of generations' time, people will have moved on to even more interesting things, you know. I mean, I know you're aware of this broader thing going on with the metaverse, and people are imagining what it would be like
virtual
to live
reality.
With, you know, internet connected, you know, contact lenses. Well, that's going to be a different story.
And this is only the beginning, Paul. But in terms of looking at some of these concepts that he discusses in the book, I mean, I have to agree with the fact that we do spend a lot of time looking at our screens and getting screen glare, especially in the US, where young people spend about close to 30 minutes on TikTok just watching videos. So I do get why the reviews were more positive from that side of the world, because the social media attention is far, far greater than the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, TikTok is an amazing thing. I think I saw numbers that were even higher than that. You know, a certain age groups, people spending up to 90 minutes a day looking at that. But sure. I mean, it is truly quite absorbing what you see there if you've spent any time on that platform. I mean, the algorithm suggests stuff to you which you're going to find interesting, whether it's people making stuff out of wood or you know, people doing amazing tricks or jumping into things, or, you know, I mean, I'm just reflecting some of the stuff I've seen. And it's understandable why people who are in the media business, whether they're selling newspapers or even the Netflixes, that are worried about the impact on their audiences. But I don't necessarily see that as a terribly negative outcome. You know, people have always spent their leisure time doing different things. You know, and what I like about TikTok is that it's actual creative agents, that it's people creating stuff, as opposed to, you know, celebrities. What I like about how things go viral in that environment, how it's just like fresh young people doing creative and crazy and interesting and zany things.
Yeah, it's a whole
I'm a big runner, so I quite enjoy people, you know, like talking about their running athletic performances and some of the imagery and stuff with the guys from East Africa and all that. It's quite amazing. So for me, I don't see it as a negative. It's personalized. You know, in the old days, we used to sit down and like watch what was on SABC TV in the 1980s. You know, it was like someone else telling you what you should be interested in. Now you can, you know, the system shows you stuff that you're more likely to be interested in. So I don't know. Again, for me, the people who write these kind of books saying that we are lost and that these technologies are bad for us have got it exactly backwards. I don't think so. I think we are found. And I think these technologies are actually making our brains explode. I think it's good times, good news. And the companies that are developing these platforms are going to do well.
What kind of runner are you? I just want to know, are you the one that has headphones on when you run, or are you far more focused on your steps?
No. I'm a social runner. So I actually help run a group in Parkview in Johannesburg, which has got like 1,100 people on it, called the Tyrone Harriers, that runs from Croft and Co. And if anyone listening tonight wants to come in and join, they must come. Like even tomorrow, Women's Day, 6:30 at Croft and Co. We're going to run 10Ks. So, you know, that kind of fun stuff is exactly. Good that you mentioned that, because we've got a MailChimp mail group that we have. We're on Instagram. Okay, we're not on TikTok. I must work on that. But, you know, it's like these tools, these technologies are helping us connect with each other, people making friends. You know, that's how it happens. And the social media platforms that we use to popularize those activities are exactly what are bringing people together. And that was impossible in the past. I don't know how people found each other to run with in the old days.
Probably
I can't even
remember.
You have to have somebody who lived next door to you. Exactly.
Well, a very practical reading there from Paul Theron of the book Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention and How to Think Deeply Again. But Paul Theron telling us that, you know, his focus and our focus is not stolen in modern society, because we use the technology to advance our creativity, to connect as people. So the managing director at Vestec Asset Management saying that book is very long, so if you have the time, you can pick it up and read it. But his view is that we have nothing to worry about in terms of our focus.